I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite Ladies' Corner, which is Muslim Lady. I'm Asma. I have the honor to be your host once again. And here with me, I have Sister Zainab. Before everything, I wish wherever you are, you're doing well and life is treating you well. So, Sister Zainab, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming here and for being a part of Muslim Lady, as in today's episode. Just for those who have joined us and they do not know you, probably, give us a very brief introduction about yourself.
Okay, I'm Zainab from Indian University of Kashmir, and I'm a graduate in science, and then I did my postgraduate in linguistics, and then Hausa for more than a decade. And on the sidelines, I have also been writing a couple of articles, books, mostly based on the Muslim lady.
Wow, that's very great. We wish you luck, and it's a very good news that you're here to share your insights with us. So once you get into marriage, it's not only that one particular person that you have to deal with. No, there is an entire family, an entire lineage that you have to deal with. And then sometimes it's not as easy as it sounds to be, because people are different. And because I was just listening to something last night. It was fun, by the way. There was this guy who was saying that I love people and I try to love them even more. But just as they start talking, the whole story changes.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing could be applied. Like, how to set boundaries in relationships among the, and since we're talking to Muslim ladies and our concern has been marriage and the marital relationship, how to set these boundaries. Not with the husband, with that particular person, but with his family. Do we need boundaries?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course we need them, but without friction. Yeah. So, in fact, we should have healthy boundaries, I must say. And it is to understand that, again, as I always say, that boundaries are not walls. It's a kind of expression through wisdom. And it should not be an expression through with distance. And
you mentioned wall, and I just remembered a poem by Robert Frost, which is Mending Wall. I don't know if I've read that poem or not, but that very much explains the relationship of human beings. Like, good fences make good neighbors.
Yes, indeed. So, in fact, we say we also have a. Phrase in Kashmiri, they say "dur dur che mar swagan te mehtan," which means when you have boundaries.
I can get the meaning even without knowing.
Yeah. So when you have healthy boundaries, even the peppers become sweeter.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah, so that's a phrase that we have. And we also have this belief that when two people get married, it's not just two people, it's the two families.
Two ideologies, two families, two different perspectives, two different histories.
Histories, yeah.
Yeah, two different angles of looking at the world.
A lot of people get rejected, like two people, they were good, they had good compatibility just because the histories of their families were different.
Right, yeah.
They got rejected, unfortunately. So yeah, boundaries are important. They're an expression of wisdom and they create clarity. They create clarity about your rules, about you can also preserve respect while you're describing them. And you this way, I think when you have boundaries, you allow relationships to flourish. And I think all those misconceptions, all those fights, all those conflicts arise when you have unspoken disappointments accumulated. right?
Yeah.
You have accumulated all those unspoken disappointments. You have to talk about...
So should I speak about them?
Of course. You have to respectfully. We are never, you know, we are
never
here.
But I'm sure that they would create even larger walls.
No, that's why when you create boundaries, that means you're talking about, you know your role and you're talking about the boundaries. Okay, this is my boundary. I can't just, you know...
Cross it.
Yes.
And you cannot either.
Yeah. So we have to know that, you know, Quran describes spouses as being a source of tranquility, sakina, mm-hmm. source of tranquility for one another. And this grows when the couple has this space to build their own rhythms while also remaining connected to a wider family. We are not saying that you don't have to remain connected to a wider family. They are important for the growth of your children. Your own, for example, suggestions from their mistakes, a lot of things, you know. But suggestions should never become the interference. That's where you have to build
those
boundaries.
The first years of marriage are such an ordeal. Like, because it's not one person you're dealing with. Because that one person, first of all, is not totally known to you. Yeah. Still, he's a hidden envelope, I don't know, a secretive planet to be explored. And then it's not just only him. Mm-hmm. You have his entire family. As much as he's unexplored, according to you, in your perspective, his families are even more unknown to you.
Yes.
And then I think the problems are inevitable.
They are, depending on different cultures, you know. So when a woman enters her husband's family as a respected relative, I would say.
Yeah.
She should know that she has entered as a respected relative. She's not someone who has to be, you know, whose worth depends on constant approval. Because that's how...
So let's look at the worst scenario. You say she must know, she must be aware that she's entered as a respected creature.
Yeah, know your
worth.
She
knows her worth. But what if the others, the environment, are not giving her the insinuation that you are respected?
No, that's why we're talking about boundaries. She has to, you know, let them know that, okay, I am a human being who, and, you know, I have some kind of self-esteem, mm-hmm. self-respect. And also Islam does not allow you to allow others to hurt your self-esteem. It says that you have to react when your self-esteem is being mm-hmm. attacked or hurted. That time you can't just be dumb and numb, and you have to speak about it. You have to talk about it with wisdom, with respect.
Mm-hmm. And if I spoke and then the situation got worse?
It's very important to omit people who do not respect your self-esteem, who do not, because I have talked about it, honestly. I saw certain families from mm-hmm. different cultures, because, you know, one of the good things here is that you get to know people from so many cultures.
Exactly, yeah.
So there are so many cultures with so many, I would say, drawbacks that they come
along
with.
Obstacles that they've dealt with.
Yeah, and they come along with from their own countries with all those... you know, worse things as well, which is cultural. So, like, we had a discussion in house about this. So what can we just be reactive? Can we act? Mm-hmm. Can we talk on this note that when
I'm an unwanted newcomer?
Yeah, I always feel like unwanted newcomer. So they say, you have to be respectful, 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 until and unless you face something, you feel like every time I'm speaking, every time my self-esteem is being hurt.
I'm losing a part of me.
Yes. As the moment you start realizing there's no way out from this, and it's only my self-esteem that's being hurt over and over again.
Every day.
Yes, you should
step
outside that. Yeah, make a boundary, make a wall here. In fact, make a wall, not a boundary only, make a wall here. So your self-esteem...
Good fences
your
make
self-worth,
good neighbors.
Yes. Your worth is way more mm-hmm. important than what others think, which is not even important, which is not even in our religion.
And you don't have to cut the relationship, by the way, because based on Islamic heritage, maybe they are not your parents or maybe they're not your siblings, but they are the family of your husband. So you don't have to cut the relationship, but keep the fences and the guards on. Like, you don't, if you used to go there every week for an entire day, right now you can go and visit them just like a guest, probably for 2 hours. I'm sharing my perspective. Is it right?
Yeah, I think just because you have lived in one culture, you're talking about the very, I would say, surface level problems, but there are some very deep, rooted problems in different cultures. For example, there are very much there are a lot of families, especially in our cultures, wherein when you get married, the parents or the family of your husband does not allow you to have a separate home.
Oh, you have to live with them. Yeah.
You have to live with them. You have to, and that be in that house, the boundaries become
merged.
Yes, to have your own boundaries, to have your own space becomes very difficult. So, you know, we have a hell lot of problems to deal with in that joint.
So what about family. Those conditions?
Yeah, in those conditions as well, like we have to see how much we can navigate with our wisdom. For example, I have been there personally. Mm-hmm. I have had many people who are there, and it's not like, okay, I'm speaking on Muslim lady and I have never had any problems. But I think most of the times, if you give time and space, if you give a pause, you don't just react all of a sudden out of nowhere, just only react. You just give a pause and you just try to understand why those constant, affirmations, why I have to prove myself every now and then. You realize there's some underlying issue. There's a fear, I think, in every mom of a boy, of my son is gone. Mm-hmm. She took my son away.
She didn't.
Exactly.
Your son took her away.
You have to make sure you make her realize that it's not... See, for example,
This is not a stealing and robbing story.
Exactly. I remember after our marriage, we were also living in a joint family, and my husband would get some fruits, and from the window, I would tell him, please give it to your mom first. I remember. And, you know, this would create some sort of balance. And she realized, okay, she's not the one only important in this family, in his life. I'm still important. So you can do those small
things. She's not the dark witch coming from nowhere taking my son.
That's the, unfortunately, the mentality I think the serials, the movies, different cultures have put into. I think I have seen moms in each and every culture having that mentality, having that sense that she came and she took my son out of nowhere.
Yeah. Now my son is gone.
He's gone.
And even if she doesn't think that, in the best case, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Even if she doesn't think that she took my son, she would say that, okay, now my son is gone.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not gone. The family is extended.
Yeah.
That's all that happened.
And at most of the places, there are also some underlying financial issues that the family is dealing with.
Yeah.
And, I think the root is somewhere else, and the reaction is coming on someone else, mm-hmm. which is very unfair, though.
Yeah.
But you have to make the person realize, am I the problem, really? Or is there some underlying issue I can help with?
Yes.
I have been there. Like I have told a couple of times directly and respectfully to my in-laws.
So projection happens.
To
problem
my in-laws
is somewhere else. You're projecting
if
it
on others. I think problem is somewhere else. Let me help you with it. I can be a helper. I can
be a
solver.
Do not consider me as the cause of that problem. Just say it.
Yeah. And let's fix it together.
Yeah.
Trust me, there was a pause. There was a pause and they started rethinking. And yes, definitely, people realized that there have been some other underlying causes.
So again, it needs effort.
It needs a lot of efforts. And I would say it needs also a art of communication again here. You know how to communicate. You know, okay, I am being erased. I'm being attacked for nothing, but you just come. And I remember just because of those pauses and those questions, which I put respectfully, I still remember my father-in-law said to me once that he said, I was realizing that I have built a house of bricks. And with the marriages, maybe someone is trying to take out those bricks. But I realize you're the one who is adding on those bricks and making this house even bigger. So it's because of
nice
communication.
Confession.
Yes, yeah. But I remember how he confessed that I was expecting that you will.
You
take
were the
out
brick snatcher.
Yes, so it was like then he said no. As I opened my eyes, I realized you have made another story. You had made another floor, and you made this house look much more beautiful. And that should be the attitude, you know. Mm-hmm. I think this confession didn't make him someone, what kind of mentality he had. I think every in-law, all in-laws have this kind of mentality. As, you know, I said, mother-in-law has one kind of mentality. Father-in-law has another kind of mentality. Brother-in-laws have another kind of mentalities. For example, they feel like, now, one of the examples I can give, which is very common in mm-hmm. our cultures again, and in a lot of families I have seen, brother-in-laws usually feel that, okay, my brother used to give me money before marriage, now he does not help me financially, and it's all because of his wife. His wife doesn't know he even gave you sometimes.
Exactly.
So yeah, like
she's a newcomer, she doesn't know much about you.
Yeah, you know, I remember to my brother-in-law when he was getting engaged, I told him, let's get a ring for your wife and I'll pay. And he was like, what?
Shocked.
What? Until now I felt like
she's not as bad as you think.
Yeah, until now I felt like you're the one who's stopping. And I was like, why should I stop? I would be happy. And I think this should be my gift to you. So like, yeah, there are many things that get...
Give people chances to prove themselves.
Yes.
That's all I would say.
And, you know, when you communicate these boundaries, when you communicate these things properly, that's why I said do not accumulate those disappointments and disagreements.
Well, I would
talk about it in a respectful way.
Exactly. I would end it this way with a quote of Gandhi, I guess, if I'm not mistaken. I read it once that he said, do not get too close to me so that I get burned with the fire that exists in between us. And do not go so far away from me so that I would get frozen from the coldness that exists in between us. And I think that is the gist. So take care of yourself. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges.